Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone at this time of Thanksgiving. The holidays are here. We think about gratitude. We think about blessings. We think about what that means. What is gratitude? And today in the studio, I have with me an incredibly talented woman. She is a licensed clinical social worker. She's a certified psychodramatist, a national trainer of internal family systems, a group facilitator and organizational consultant. Her name is Caitlin Stecker. Caitlin lives here in Astoria, Oregon, although she travels nationwide. And we're going to be talking about gratitude for the difficult. Hello, Caitlin.
Good morning.
I'm so grateful you're here today.
Yep.
Yeah, grateful. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, hey. It's really good to be able to share some things about what gratitude is in a little deeper, fuller way.
Indeed. Yeah. And for those listeners who may not be familiar with you, Caitlin, and your work, could you please explain a little bit about what you do and perhaps IFS, et cetera?
Well, I guess if I had to use one word now, that's interesting. As I said that, I almost wanted to change what the word would be, but it kind of, because healer seems a little presumptuous, because I don't really believe that I, you know, heal, but I do facilitate the circumstances in which people can heal, because really our own systems are the ones that decide and determine, you could say, whether it's consciously or unconsciously, when we're ready to make that shift. So I facilitate people's healing or growing in all kind of different ways and groups. I'm really just feel really grateful for the role of being able to help people at the hospital staff and in situations particularly where something, you know, difficult has happened and being able to process that through. I work a lot with people who've experienced all different kinds of trauma, and trauma is really just kind of simply said, an interruption of movement. It can be emotional development. It can be physical movement. We get the trauma of an accident. But we're also, if we're in an experience that's overwhelming to us, so I help people with processing these different experiences. And then I also teach therapists this model that I work with, internal family systems. And it taps into, you could say, 10,000 years of wisdom about that we are a multiplicity of parts. We're not just one mind, one way of being. And if we can come to know our system, our internal system, we can help ourselves live in more harmony and peace.
Well said, because all of us have internal conflict at all times. I love the way that Annie Lamott talks about it. There's a radio station in your head, and all the voices are going, which one do you pay attention to?
Yeah, that's
which
great.
Time, which is the voice of wisdom? Wait, maybe that's not. Also, the fact that you talk about trauma, I believe that in our culture, everyone has experienced trauma of some
absolutely.
Sort. And even just watching the news sometimes is very traumatic.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of my teachers, Marion Woodman, would always say that the images that we take in, especially from the news, we want to look at as food. And that if we eat too much distress, our body has a hard time with it, and it really does increase the likelihood we feel anxious or out of, just that sense of not only out of control, but just living in so much distress and chaos. So it's good to be able to kind of notice what we're taking in, what we're feeding ourselves in that way, as well as how we feed ourselves with food.
Yes, the perception becomes then suddenly that the world is not a healthy, safe, beautiful place.
And yes.
And I think the Winnie the Pooh book of the Zen of... Remember
The Tao of
Pooh. The Tao of Pooh. That's it. Yes, yes. That also addressed that very issue that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Caitlin, when we think about gratitude, you see people who are like, oh, I'm just so happy all the time. I'm so grateful. I have so many great things going on all the time.
Yeah.
Then we think, well, that's how we're supposed to be.
Right.
If we're supposed to be grateful, it's because everything's going well all the time.
Yes.
Well, you have another perspective to share today.
Yeah, I really, this has become kind of a theme for me that I want to help myself and therefore and help others become more and more able to be grateful for the difficult in our lives, the challenges, the places where we're not so competent, we're not in charge, Well, we're not really in charge anywhere. But anyway, I guess maybe there are some roles. But the idea that we could actually have a relationship with the things that happen or the experiences or the people in our life that disturb us, where we realize that there's potentially a gift there. There's a culture, the Seneca, that teach their children when they dream and have a monster that's chasing them to turn around and ask that monster for a gift. And it's very much like Jacob in the Bible, where, you know, eventually as he wrestled the angel, he asked the angel for a gift. And the gift that the angel gave him was the wound. And that he lived with that wound for the rest of his life. But it informed his experience of his, and he felt his strength because of that wound. And it reminded him of that all night long struggle that he had with the angel that gave him that sense of how strong he was, that he could go and lead a country and lead a group that really that became his source of strength. So we unfortunately don't have those traditions, and so it's harder for us. It doesn't come easily to us to look at the things that are hard as blessings. But often, if people are asked to reflect, especially later in life, it is often the places where they have been most upset, disturbed, felt most vulnerable, that they were able to move through, that they reference as those places where they really feel that life touched them and they were really vitally alive and they connected with something greater than themselves.
Yes, it's as though we think somehow in this culture that the flower is always in the sun and it's always warm and it's always beautiful. In fact, the growth happens in the dark underneath the soil in that deep, dark place. And you're right, other cultures, the Greeks, you would be in a place of not depression, but a place of sadness or wondering or confusion or being lost, and which led to the next awakening, the next blossoming, the next cycle of your life.
Absolutely. Well, what you're saying, I mean, think of all the stories, fairy tales that are about being lost and then finding this, you know, this experience or place that you would never have known if you just kept going on the path that you thought you were going on. And I think it's, you know, this is a hard thing. It's not like we want to sit around and wish for awful things, you know. I mean, of course, there's a way in which we, you know, we love these experiences of whatever we call success or blessing or whatever. And that's great. And I do think that to live a whole, full life and to really experience the satisfaction of being able to really relate to life in a full way, it does take being able to appreciate that there are these experiences that we wouldn't choose that are actually blessings for us.
Part of that is because whether it's the media telling us that, oh, look, this movie star or this celebrity has just a fabulous life all the time, which is, of course, not true. Or that everything should always be perfect and wonderful, which is, again, not true.
Yeah.
It's a very shallow way to look at things. Yeah. Things will always occur no matter what. No one that I know of has a blissful life at all times.
No.
There are always things that are going to happen.
Even aging, if we really do live, you know, a number of years, we experience losses and vulnerabilities and illnesses that really take us to places that, again, are not easy if you think that you're supposed to be competent all the time. And we have to, in this culture, that's really how we're trained, that we're supposed to be, you know, on top of it, know what we're doing, you know, what do you do, what do you, you know, what's important to you, all this. But sometimes we've lost that because we're in a place where life is, in a sense, stopping us and asking us to kind of reconnect with ourselves. And yet, again, it really takes, and that's one of the things I love about the groups I do, is that people really end up feeling like they have a tribe that supports their being able to welcome the vulnerability of their life or welcome the places that they're not so competent and that they can explore that with support.
Do you think also, Caitlin, that there's this idea that when I get through this, when I get this great job, when I fall in love, when I find my mate, when this happens, when I make this money, I will be happy forever.
Right, yeah.
And everything will be great, and then I'll be really grateful. So this thing that's happening that is a detour, perhaps, to that is something that we look on as detrimental, and yet that could be a gift and a teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, I mean, you know, it's blessings are wonderful. And
In disguise, sometimes.
Yeah. And they're, you know, I mean, that sense that, you know, again, I mean, gratitude for the difficult doesn't mean that, you know, that's all we want in our life. Of course, it's this balance. And it's also, really, it's about the relationship with our life and the relationship with our own experience and what's our own feelings, our own beliefs, and how do we care for ourselves in that process? Because we can't control very much of what's happening. What we can learn is how to be with the different responses in us, and how do we comfort ourselves? How do we soothe ourselves when we are in distress? It's really hard because, again, our culture, and especially these last, you know, decades, when we went through a period of child rearing where, you know, it was like, well, let the baby cry. It's good for them to learn how to, you know, comfort themselves and all this stuff. We didn't know at that time that now, through neuroscience and seeing the brain, that actually we learn to comfort ourselves by being comforted. And babies need to have people come and be with them in distress. It is not reinforcing their crying to be with them, because what it helps them learn is how to be with that distress themselves and to feel that sense of comfort that they can then tap into. Many of us didn't get that. Many of us were left to cry. And because of that, then when we experience distress in our life, it feels overwhelming. We don't know how to respond to it. We don't know how to help ourselves because it was so overwhelming all the times that it got programmed and wired into our brain.
I think you're right. It's how we look at things, the stories we tell ourselves about things.
Yeah.
And I think you actually have a poem that you want to read at some point.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. This is... I have to thank one of my clients that reminded me of this poem this week, and that's how I kind of got really into this. We've been exploring all week in group and this whole notion of gratitude for the difficult. But Rumi, who's a poet from the 12th century, knew this wisdom. And of course, again, many, many cultures that live in relationship more to the earth and to the cycles of life, the dying of the fall, the cold, dark part of the winter that really is when the new buds are being formed, all these metaphors that really let people understand their life from that perspective. Here's what he was able to come to. This being human is a guest house. So it's like thinking of us as a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. So this morning when I woke up, because I've been thinking of this, I just thought, okay, who's coming to stay? Who wants to come in and have a little room today? A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Because again, often, you know, it's not the stuff that we decide we're going to feel or experience. It's what comes to us. And he says, welcome and attend them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. And that's actually what I love about the IFS model that I train and use in my work, is that it is a model that says, treat each feeling, part of yourself, experience of yourself with respect. Know that even things that are creating difficulty for you are actually trying to help. There's a positive intention. And so he says, these sorrows may be clearing you out for some new delight. It's kind of like if the room is all full of furniture, there's no place for anything new. And in our life too, if everything's all full and whatever, there's no place for the new. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in.
that's not easy. I mean, that's it takes support to be able to say, wow, maybe this could be something good. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. That's really that attitude, that sense that the hard things in our life actually are coming to us because there is some great mystery, God, whatever word we use to describe it, that is wanting something more for us, wants us to learn and to open. And this is how it comes. Welcome difficulty. Learn the alchemy. That's that kind of making something, like taking something and making gold, that true human beings know. My favorite line. The moment you accept what troubles you've been given, the door opens. It's like kind of being given the magic key. The moment you accept what troubles you've been given. But that is so hard. We have to work with the parts of us that at times carry unworthiness from early in our life and instead experience things that are happening to us as punishments or ways that, you know, this is just reflecting our unworthiness. It's hard to welcome that stuff.
It is. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And my guest today is Caitlin Stecker. She's a licensed clinical social worker, a certified psychodramatist, a national trainer of internal family systems, or IFS. She's a group facilitator and an organizational consultant. And we're talking about gratitude for the difficult. The idea that when things come to us, which are not as we expect or hope for or wish for, we look beyond for a deeper meaning and we say, oh, well, there must be something I don't understand here. And we surrender in a way to that.
Yes,
recently where something was completely different than I expected. And instead of saying, oh, no, this is terrible, it's a tragedy, I said, okay, well, this is not what I expected. And I surrender to it. And then I will find some good in this. And it turned out to be a very good experience.
Many, many people, you know, really speak of that when they've had that experience. And often when people are in a closing experience of their life in the dying process or in an illness, you know, there will be these experiences that people report of just feeling like they never would have chosen this, but it turned out to be something that feels more precious to them than anything. One of my teachers told the story of I think we've actually shared this before, but in New York, where they used to have the safes in the apartments of, you know, people who had jewels and, you know, really valuable things, and they would be behind the paintings. But the burglars, after a while, knew that, so they went directly there and then cut them out of the wall and da-da-da. So somebody got very creative and came up with these safes that looked like rotten cabbages that were oozing, you know, yuck, and put them in the vegetable drawer, or they would put their jewels in there and put it in the vegetable drawer. And certainly, you know, nobody would look at that and say, oh, those are where the jewels are.
If you have a cabbage in your refrigerator.
Yes, right. Go look for the jewels. Yep. But actually, what then she said, well, that's the same joke that God or the great mystery plays on us, that our jewels are inside these rotten, yucky cabbages, but we don't look there because it doesn't look like what we expect for where the jewels are, and yet they are.
And I think there's a lot of pressure on us to be happy and positive all the time, and no one can be happy, positive all the time. And there was a book that came out, I don't know, a decade or so ago, The Dark Side of the Light Chasers. We have to be very careful about that. And again, because we are human, some days we just don't feel well physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever. And we just have to say, okay, well, that's all right. And I'm grateful that I can still drink my tea and I can do whatever.
Yeah. Can I accept what is and be with it?
And find something good in it.
Yeah. Which is, again, this whole thing of if early in our life we had experiences where whatever we were feeling was accepted and we had caregivers that came to be with us with it, then we learn to do that for ourselves. But it's very hard, of course, and I don't in any way judge, you know, parents, because I mean, everybody does the very best they can, and it's very hard to give what you haven't experienced yourself. And we are now culturally and the development of consciousness, we're coming more to understand that we really do, again, with young ones, that opportunity to help them learn how to be with their feelings by our being with them, rather than time out kids for distress tantrums, when what they need is connection then. And if they can have somebody with them, they learn how to deal with that sense of overwhelm when their brain has gone offline. Otherwise, what happens is they get more distressed, and then our systems try to make sure we never feel that again, which of course is impossible.
Exactly. It's all right to not feel good. It's all right to say in so many different ways. And I know, Caitlin, you're doing a lot of work with, you know, the spiritual gifts of aging, or
yes,
what happens with aging. And there's a book that you love right now.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R, he's a prolific writer. But he has one book called Falling Upward, which is the spirituality of the two halves of life. And it is so rich in terms of being able to help people look at what happens later in life, especially as we move into any kind of whatever we consider our retirement, or we find ourselves, you know, in the world in a little different way than we were in our 30s and 40s. And being able to see that actually the spirituality of that time has a lot to do with loss, with a sense of not being as competent or in the world in the same way, and can we appreciate what those times offer us? And he has this interesting perspective to say you have to create something in the first half of your life to experience the blessing of losing it and finding that there's even more to you than you knew before. But it is also, again, this thing of having support for understanding that loss can offer us opportunities to come to know ourselves in a more whole, full way, and to be with ourselves in situations that I was just sharing with a client yesterday, that because she lost her little dog, and these losses are so huge for those of us that let these animals come into our life that we know will likely leave us before we pass. The loss can go so deep and be so huge. But it's like in cultures where they understand grief, they say, let your grief be the praise of what you've lost, to praise how much this being mattered to you, and the love and the gift that's the intensity of this grief says, this is how much it mattered to me. And can I let that really take me and shake me and really honor that amazing relationship
and open the heart more?
And
that's part of it. I know you also have some books that you could recommend to people. Mm-hmm. Obviously Falling Upwards is
absolutely
something that you love.
I highly recommend Falling Upward to anyone. I don't even know what age I'd put on it, but certainly in our life now, probably 50, and as we move into later years, just that appreciation for, again, what those years offer us. And then also a book called No Enemies Within by Donna Markova, M-A-R-K-O-V-A. And the whole thing for her is there really are no enemies within, and it's our learning to really be able to be with whatever comes up. It's like Rilke says, you know, welcome them all. And then also Rumi, but also I was thinking of Rilke, because one of my very most favorite books in my whole life is a book by John Mood, and it's called Rilke on Love and Other Difficulties.
Oh, how funny.
Yes.
Love
yes.
and Other Difficulties.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, love is the one that really gets a hold of us and teaches us about all of that and what we control and what we don't. But Rilke has this very famous sentence, I guess you could say, where it's really what we're talking about. And he says, if only we arrange our life according to that principle which counsels us that we must always hold to the difficult, then that which now seems to us the most alien will become what we find, what we most trust and find most faithful.
Yes, and you know, that also does address our culture today, which is always about what's the easy way, the easy way. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to have any pain.
Yes.
And yet, no matter what, it does come to us. And finding the joy, the blessings in that. We only have a few minutes left, Caitlin. Mm-hmm. What other things would you like the listening audience to know about gratitude for the difficult?
Well, I think one of the things, it's not, I like the story of, we talked about this, the Buddhist story that this farmer is having trouble with his fields and cultivating, and he's given a horse, and all the community says, oh, how fortunate, and he says, maybe, maybe not, and then his son rides a horse and falls off and breaks his leg, and everyone says, oh, how unfortunate, and he says, maybe, maybe not, and then the war comes, and his son can't go because he has a broken leg, and everybody says, oh, how fortunate, and he says, maybe, maybe not. There are 500 flips of this in this story, and this man lives in relationship to his life as, I don't know what it is. I don't know what this means or the effect of this really by what it looks like. Maybe, maybe not. And that he's open to it. And that really probably, there is gratitude for the difficult, but in some ways it, to me, it's like, how about just be willing to accept and open to the possibility that not only the great things in our life, but the hard things in our life are blessings too.
Yes, and I also think that, you know, very few really will have the Norman Rockwell kind of Thanksgiving, picture of what life or family is supposed to be like. I think that can be really damaging to a lot of people. I think to accept that, you know, wherever you're living, however it is, whatever you consider family, to be grateful for that and not keep comparing because that makes us so unhappy.
Yeah. And at the same time, I have to say that, you know, we only can do that if we're really able to be with the parts of us that have been hurt and wounded. We can't talk ourselves into a good attitude. We really have to be able to come to a place where we can be with our experience with compassion. And often that is really, really difficult to do on our own because our whole system's oriented to helping us succeed. And it doesn't want us to go to the vulnerable places. But often, you know, these painful times, depressions, anxiety, these are parts of us that are asking us, could I be accepted now? Could you be with me now? Could you come and give me comfort now? Instead, we pull away, try to manage, try to control, take a medication that gets rid of it, whatever. But with support, if we can be with that, it really can bring our life more whole. So I'm so excited that in the pop culture, you could say, on the radio now, you can hear a song that says, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's a great line that just keeps going. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And it's, you know, it's that thing of if we really can meet it, that's the gift it gives us.
Absolutely. Caitlin, thank you so much for being here today and for giving us another way to look at gratitude for the difficult in our lives. Mm. Thank you.
It's great to be with you.
And I want to thank all of you who listen to KMUN, to Talk of Our Towns, each Wednesday morning. We're here from 9:30 to 10, and I want to appreciate Kathleen Morgane, who has been the engineer today, and Joanne Rideout. Also, much gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, I hope you find a moment for yourself today. Today, take a deep breath with gratitude for what is working in your life and for those things which are not working. And focus on giving yourself loving and compassionate acceptance. Give yourself a hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists on the amazing planet we call Earth.